in store for you when you're a part of Champion Forest Baptist Church, and we're just so excited what God is doing in our life as a church family. Has God blessed anybody in here? Okay, I'm just checking, because God is good. He's good to each and every one of us, and we praise him on this day. If you've been with us as we continue to walk in our vision for 2020, our goal, our commitment, our objective is to follow Jesus every day. And there's a blessing when you commit to following Jesus every day. And others are blessed when you commit to following Jesus every day. So let's look in God's word again from that letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi. In Philippians, this week we're looking at the second chapter, and we're going to zero in on the 19th verse. Second chapter, we're going to begin at the 19th verse. I'm so grateful that Pastor Trammell was able to come and share with us on last week, and I was allowed to share at Nart Klein, but I was in a hurry to get back here. I got three people who was excited about that, so I appreciate that. Appreciate it. If you made your way in God's Word to that second chapter, beginning at the 19th verse, let's hear what God's Word says to us. Apostle Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy, his proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Paul continues to write, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy. Somebody say, all joy.
All joy.
And honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Noble Holy Spirit, I want us to engage this text with this thought in our mind. Teamwork works. Teamwork works. And so, Father, as we direct our attention to your word, we ask that you would cultivate the soil of our hearts, that it might be receptive soil for the seed of your word. Father, that you might implant it deep within us, that we as your children will reflect your glory. More and more each day, as we live our lives following our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us that we might grow together in unity, in harmony, in love, that you may be pleased with this, your church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Teamwork works. There's an estimate of about 100 million viewers will at some point today around 5:30 will be watching a contest. I'm not sure why they'd want to watch. I mean, it's not like, you know, we have any Kansas City Chiefs fans in the house. It's not that we have any 49er fans in the house, because I know all of you are Saints fans. Because you are Bible readers. Isn't that right, Will? 100 million people. Over 100 million people will be viewing this contest. They'll be rooting for one or two teams. And the team that will be successful in the contest, the team that will avail and win the Super Bowl championship, will be the team that works best together. In fact, I can tell you, I'm not advocating betting, but I can tell you which team is going to win. I can tell you who's going to win right now. I feel a prophetic anointing. I can tell you. Austin, I got it down. I know who's going to win. Yeah. Take this down. Write it. Make sure you tweet it right. Say, my pastor prophesied that a team that was going to win was a team that worked best together. Yeah, over 100 million will be watching, Dr. Al. But you know, there are about 2.3 million in the city of Houston that will be watching, not the game, about 2.3 million will be watching the church. In fact, Pew statistics now state that 50% of Houston's population does not attend any church. Say that one more time, my brother. Did you hear the brother preach? You heard him, right? And I like that. That means then everybody should have a seat assignment. I hope you caught that. Because we have a whole bunch of seats. And if everyone took just one seat assignment, your assignment, Matthew, will be to fill the other seat. We could bring that number down where more would be a part of the body of Christ. I want to impress this, because oftentimes what is said about the church in criticism by those who are not a part of the church, it's really sometimes at the fault of the church. Because the church, God's children, this family, this collected body of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the church, God calls us to be a model of love for the world. That when people come in the church, Ben, they experience something that they haven't experienced anywhere else. That when they come here, they ought to experience God's love being lived out through his people. But you know. You've heard it. You know, ain't no hurt like church hurt. Really, hurt is hurt, but you heard it. I don't go to church because it's filled with, you heard him. I don't believe in the church, because oftentimes the church doesn't live what we say we believe. Let me just press this claim for a moment. Because there is a population surrounding us that are looking at us. They're watching how we exit. And if you exit too fast, then they may not want to come here. They watch how your faces look on the video. So you ought to smile sometimes. They're watching to see, is it real? In fact, there's some in here right now. You may have grown up in the context of the church, and things happen among church folk that at times will challenge your faith. Don't look at anybody right now. Just look at me. And it discourages you even being in the church. Oh, I know it's tight, but it's right. Because church is filled with broken people. Oh, you don't believe me? Watch this. If something wrong with you, raise your hand. See, told you. My hand stay. And God wants better from his church. I know the text we read, it seemed like a travel log, you know, that the Apostle Paul, he's just telling you what his plans are going to be as he's writing out his list of what he anticipates on doing and who he's sending. But I believe God has a message for us here, even in his travel log. Because the truth is still the truth. And in the church, God has equipped the church with relationships that really matter. Did you hear me? That God has comprised his church with relationships that really matter. I wouldn't sit that close to somebody if I didn't have a relationship with them. Look who you sit next to. Some of y'all, you're like, no, this is all me. This is all me. But God has knitted us together. He's brought us together. We have five members who just became part of our church family. He's knitting us together to be in a relationship. And that's how we grow. Because God intended for believers in God to grow in the context of church. That's why it's hard to rationalize that statement, I believe in God, but I don't attend the church. And yet, it's Christ who said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the church is a family of faith that God knits together in a relationship, and those relationships matter. That's really what we see in the text. Because as you open the text in the 19th verse, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's pinning this from a Roman imprisonment, and he's writing, and he has two companions we know who are with him, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and they're there with him, and he's pinning this letter, and in this letter he's writing, particularly at the beginning and the offset, he's writing about someone who been shadowing him, someone who he's been pouring into. He's writing about young Timothy. Then later he writes about Epaphroditus. And what I want to challenge you to see in this text is that there are at least three relationships that we ought to have within the context of the church. We ought to have mentors in the church. I thought I was going to get at least two amens on that. Come on. We ought to have mentees, not mentos, mentees in the church. We ought to have a relationship where we are mentoring and we are being mentored. And that ought to happen in the safe context of the body of Christ. That God is calling us to model the message in the text, because when you see Timothy, don't just run past Paul's writing of Timothy. When you see Timothy, what you're seeing is a young man who the Apostle Paul chose to pour into. Paul was his mentor. In the 16th chapter of Acts, it was the Apostle Paul who saw young Timothy, who was a disciple of Christ, that the elders in the church were speaking well of. He saw this teenager who loved God. You know teenagers love God too. I got at least one. I got at least one here. Teenagers love God too. I knew I had a few of them in here. He sees this teenager who's committed his life to following Christ. And get this, Sonia, the Apostle Paul sees him and he decides to mentor him. He says to Timothy, and look what he says about Timothy. He says that Timothy, that there's no one like him, that he's genuine, that he seeks not his own interests, but the interests of Christ, that as a son with a father, he is served with his mentor to spread the gospel. Told you three relationships. I only gave you two. You have the mentor and you have mentees, but then you have relationships within the ministry. Apostle Paul is Timothy's mentor. Timothy was born in a multi-ethnic context. Timothy was possibly in a difficult home environment. Because in Acts, we learn that Timothy's mother was a believer. Thank God for all the mothers who are believers. But Timothy's father was a Greek. He most likely was a pagan worshiper. And here, the Apostle Paul walks in Lystra, sees this young disciple, understands his background, doesn't use his background to disqualify him, but rather sees the value in him and chooses to pour into him. I hope you get this. Because in the church, it ought to be the place where we don't write people off just because of where they come from. In the church, we don't profile people because of the context of their home makeup. In the church, people ought to come in, and they come in broken, but they ought to find that there are those who are willing to see the value that's in them and not judge them from where they come from. Because I don't know if you know this or not, all of us come from something. Oh, you look like you don't believe me. How many folks saved in here? If you saved, raise your hand. Let me see. How many folks saved in here? God saved you from something. I may not know what your something is, but I know it's sin, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when you come to church, when people come in, that's why we greet them with a smile, because we want them to know that the same love that saved us is the same love that can save others, and God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. So Paul is a mentor. And get the context of the text. That the Apostle Paul is writing a letter, and young Timothy and Epaphroditus, who are in the letter he's writing, would have been able to read the letter. They would be able to see the words that the Apostle Paul said about them. I hope you get this, brothers and sisters. Because there's somebody God has assigned to your life who needs you to speak into their life. There's somebody who God has assigned in your life group, in your ministry circles, on your row that God has assigned to you, that they need to hear what you see in them. Is there? Notice the words that Paul lavishly uses to describe this young man. Notice how he speaks of his positive attributes and he vouches for him. I hope you get this. Because there are some people that come in here and they're so low because they've gone through things all week and no one has told them anything of value and worth. And they come into church and sometimes, y'all, we're just silent. We walk past each other and just don't say anything to each other. And yet God is calling us to look at that young person and tell them, you are a child of God. You are a treasure in the Lord's eye. Tell them that God loves them. So he speaks to him. But I get it. I get it. Because sometimes we're in scary territory where people don't want to get close to other people. I get it. Because you know we live in a fearful world that we don't always want anyone to get so close to us. We let people, you know, we got that public face. You know, that Facebook profile face. You know, that church face. That we don't let people get too close to us. Because in order to be a mentor, you have to allow somebody to get in your space. What would your life be like if someone didn't mentor you? What would your life be like if somebody didn't get close to you to show you love? Just think for a moment. Because Apostle Paul here, he's in this relationship, but I get it. It's right there in the text. Because in order to be able to see what's best in other people's lives, in order to be able to value other people, it's right there at the beginning of 19th verse. Look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Brother Michael, I could hang there all sermon long, but I only have about two more hours to go, and so I'll make this as quick as I can. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Then he says to send Timothy to you, but don't run past that. That in order to be able to see the best that's in others, we got to learn how to hope in Jesus. I hope you catch this. Because when you hope in Jesus and you see someone, I need somebody to help me out here. Jonathan, come here, man. Come here, bro. Come here. Come on up here, boy. You know what? You're too young to move that slow. All right. that when you hope in Jesus, this is what you get for being a pastor's son. It's okay. All right, mom. You're able to see someone who you may not know, but be able to see that God has a blessing in store for them. That you're able to see someone and you have hope that the same God who's transformed your life is the same God who can bless their life. That you're able to look, and even if the child doesn't know that they're blessed, you're able to tell them that they're blessed because you have the hope in Christ that's in you, that you can lead them to understand that they too can have that same hope in them. That you're able to, you're blessed, boy. You blessed?
Yes.
Do you feel blessed? All right, you look blessed. You look prosperous. Look like you've been taken care of. Boy, I tell you what, you look like somebody I know. Thank you, baby. Don't miss this, y'all. Because everybody in here has the ability to pour into somebody else. Everybody in here has the ability to see the best in someone else. That's why we ought not give up on people so quickly. That's why we don't give up on the next generation. And that's why the next generation don't give up on the now generation. Because we know that God has knitted us together because we're better when we're together. And so he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lifts up young Timothy. He tells of his worth. And then he goes on after he lifts him up and says that he's poured into him. He's like a son to him. He says, I hope to therefore send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. If you're going to be mentors, if you're going to be mentees, if you're going to be in relationship in ministry, not only should we hope in the Lord to see the best in others, but we pour into others, get this, and trust the Lord with the outcome. Apostle Paul says, I don't know how it's going to go with me. He says, but however it goes with me, I still want to send this blessing to you. I hope you get this. That God has blessed us with the ability to not only come together and gather on Sunday, but when we obediently follow his word that says that we are to grow together in unity, obediently follow his word that says we are to count others more significantly than ourselves, then we don't worry about the outcome. But rather, we trust God with the outcome. I saw this because last Sunday, I don't know if you know this or not, last Sunday, in the lower east end of Manhattan, a young 26-year-old was struck by an SUV. She was caught underneath the SUV. And Curtis, you might have saw it where a team of people got together, grabbed a hold of the SUV, and lifted it up so the young lady could be moved to safety. I'm trying to help you understand something here. That when somebody comes in and they've been dragged down by the world, when somebody comes in here under the weight and burdens that we have that goes on every day in our society, that the church as a unified body ought to come together, lift it up so that they too can be moved to safety. Wait a minute, what if somebody would have sued them? What if somebody would have told them that they injured them? That wasn't their concern. They saw somebody who was in need, and they responded to the need. Apostle Paul says, I want to send Timothy to you because I vouch for him, and he can be a blessing to you. But not just Timothy. He also mentions yet another, and that is Epaphroditus. In the 25th verse, he says that it was necessary. He feels it necessary to send Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was the messenger that the believers in Philippi sent to help out the Apostle Paul. He was the one who was sent to work alongside and fellow laborer with Paul. Notice the words that Paul uses. He's a fellow soldier, a fellow worker. We're one cut from the same cloth. That there's no hierarchy here. What Apostle Paul is saying about Epaphras is that Epaphras is significant to the ministry. Get this. But he got sick. He got sick. But he never stopped serving. He was ill, the Bible says, even to the point of death. But John, get this, he never stopped serving. Some days he didn't feel well, but he kept on serving. Some days he didn't feel like it, but he kept on serving. Paris, I know maybe just you and me in here, because some days you just don't feel like it. Some days you just don't feel like preaching. Okay, I don't want two preachers in here. Let me see here. Some days you just don't feel like singing. Some days you just don't feel like coming amongst the brethren and sisterin. I don't know if that's a word, sisterin, but you know, it kind of goes with it. I mean, you can tell the truth up in here. Sometimes you just don't want to be here. Okay, let me talk to some real folk in here. Woke up one Sunday morning and said, you know, this Sunday, Chase, I'm going to hang at Bedside Baptist Church with Pastor Pillow. This time I'm just going to stream in because, you know, I don't feel like being around them folk. Catch the faithfulness of the ministerial relationship here. that Epaphroditus, though he was ill, though every day wasn't a good day, he never stopped serving. Even to the degree that his concern wasn't that everybody, he wanted everybody to know that he was ill. No, no, read the text. His concern was that they heard that he was ill, and he didn't want his illness to cause them any undue stress. Kind of changed how we talk around here, huh? I got to look for friends when I'm going to say this kind of stuff. You know, ask folk how they doing. They're like, well, you know, I had the flu. 200 degree temperature. And, you know, the preacher didn't even come and visit me. Take a page from when teamwork comes together. That everybody can depend on each other to show up. I hope you catch this. Because sometimes your assignment is just for you to get here because somebody needs to see that you're here. Sometimes you just you showing up is a testament of God's grace. That sometimes when you make your way to the sanctuary, you didn't feel like it, you didn't want to get here, but when you made your way to the sanctuary, all of a sudden you realize God met you here. Because you have to realize, brothers and sisters, that everybody in here needs everybody in here. I hope you catch this. Notice how the church works together. So the church sends Epaphroditus to minister to Paul. Paul then sends Epaphroditus to minister to the church. And that's how it ought to work in here. That when we gather together, we're gathering together the team to minister to each other. And then we go out, we go to minister to others, and we gather back in together to minister to each other. Because all of us need one another. And notice something. Notice how Paul speaks of both Timothy and Epaphroditus. Notice how everything he says about his fellow church members, his fellow believers, is always in the positive. Notice how when he speaks of them, he lifts them up with honor. I want you to get this. Because God honors us when we joyously honor each other. When we lift each other up, and I know I might be stirring in your Kool-Aid right now, but the reality is that sometimes we got addicted to complaining, and we become addicted to criticizing each other, and all of a sudden, no one wants to go into the life group because it's too critical in there, and no one wants to come to church because they always hear something wrong. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. God has been too good to us, and he continues to be good to us, and that you see others, you ought to lift them up. Because God has been good to you. That's why I come to church. Will, I come because there's some stuff that happened in the week that will tear you down. There's some things that happened in life that will burden you to the point that you're almost in paralysis. But when you make your way to the church, there's somebody who can tell you that they've been through what you've been through. And now you can see their lives on the other side that will give you hope to know that you can make it too. You don't believe me? Let me help you for a moment here. Anybody ever been sick before? And the Lord healed your body. Anybody ever been at rock bottom? And you realize that Jesus was a rock that was on the bottom. Anybody ever been lost and confused and not know where to go? And God made a way out of nowhere. Has God blessed anybody in here? To the degree that you can testify so others will know that the same God who helped me is the same God who's still available to help you. So brothers and sisters, stick with the team. If you're going to wear the Christian jersey, play your position. Don't be a sideline spectator. That everybody God has called to the body ought to serve in the body. Now, don't be critical of a ministry that you ain't even taking part in. Don't shake your finger about what should do happen and what could happen if you're not doing anything to make it happen. Let me let y'all go home. Y'all gotta watch the game. There's a blessing with being a part of the body. Please don't miss this, y'all. And the community is blessed because of the body. Lives are blessed when they come into the body. God wants to use you. Are you willing to let him use you? You willing to let God use your hands and your feet, your skills and your talents? Are you willing to be the blessing God has created you to be? I hope today you say yes. Because somebody here, God has already birthed a ministry in your heart. Now it's time for you to say yes. Someone in here, you know that God has gifted you to reach others. It's time for you to say yes. Because when the team works together the best, the team always wins. And if you're looking for a church home, this is a great team to be a part of. Because here, we're a family. We're a family who grows together, serves together, go on mission together, strive to reach the lost together, so that God will be glorified.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.